most of those positions. So.
So you did factor that in?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So the good news is we're, you know, saving. We're already creating budget efficiencies by not filling these positions. We'll find out, you know, we'll see. There's certainly some on here. I can't say that there's not positions on here that we wouldn't refill. There certainly are some, especially, you know, in some of the smaller departments, but, you know, we're very, very judicious. I think I've signed one vacancy since we started COVID. So not a lot of hiring going on. Can't have an orientation, so not a lot of hiring going on. So, you know, we're obviously going to be judicious with that and monitor it going forward. But just wanted to show you that, you know, we are creating savings budget to budget through these vacant positions. And this is through the end of May. Any questions on that?
These were positions that were filled at one point, 2019 or 2020, that have not been refilled.
Not necessarily. These are the budgeted vacancies. So
okay,
if you look at
included everything
yep.
that was budgeted sitting out there but not filled.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So in some cases, they are positions that became vacant at the beginning of this year. You know, so it's a mix of both. But basically, was the position budgeted, and if so, what's we haven't filled it. So what's the savings? There's a couple on there that became vacant, you know, at the end of May. So the savings will be obviously very little. But
so these are positions that are in the 2020 budget.
Yes.
That we're not going to fill at this point.
Well, so I can't universally say that they're certainly, I mean, we're like 911, if we get the list and they can, we're so short on dispatch.
That's what my next comment was.
Yeah.
We got some that we have to fill.
Correct, but we will be, and then like the public defender's positions that the Harrell Herring grant is still
yeah.
in effect and we still have to perform. There are some of those positions that when we can fill them, we will, and they are 100% funded. You know, those ones,
right.
you know, as and the Harrell Herring, we've asked Sean, that funding, because it is in state law, you know, looks pretty good. We don't see them taking a hit to that. So,
on the first page, pro like if you look at pros department,
mm-hmm.
there's four positions that are vacant, but they're showing no savings at all, zero.
So those were so this is and I probably should have just taken them off the list. But these were positions that were budgeted last year, not they were budgeted in 2019, and
okay.
those are the ones that we zero based for 2020.
Okay. All right.
So if there's any zeros, that means we didn't budget for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're just basically placeholders right
mm-hmm.
now. Okay.
I should probably have just
no, that's fine because that shows us how many of those are
yeah.
there as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody have any other questions on these?
Some of these that have been vacant for a few years, do you anticipate filling them at some point?
In some cases, certainly not all of them. There are more than a few in social services that we carry over year to year because not knowing the demand, not knowing the caseload, again, they can draw, if they are filled, they can draw the state funding down. But there are, I mean, you know, there are many that we likely wouldn't fill anyhow, even in normal year.
From a budgetary standpoint, this helps us. This is a tool that we have that helps us create a buffer. From an administration standpoint, I would think you would want to keep some of these positions because we know the process that they have to go through in order to create new positions.
Right.
So in some cases, you're better off keeping some of these funded or unfunded, just in case you need them.
All right.
It was on the news a week ago that Allegheny County's, what did I say, furlough. 5%.
Yep, and we talked about that at the last meeting. There's pros and cons. That'd be an executive session
yeah.
conversation.
Right.
There are, since we last met, there were only about less than a dozen counties that had done it the last time we met. There's probably another 10-ish, maybe a little more, maybe another dozen that have done it.
thing is that through this whole process, it seems like we're finding that a lot of positions weren't needed. Is that what the outcome of this is?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of, again, we've carried anywhere from 100 to, you know, as low as 60 funded vacant positions. So your baseline is 60, I would say, at you know, that we've kind of carried over for, like Scott said, flexibility and budget purposes, to kind of build, you know, a little buffer in some of these things. There are some positions on here that in a normal year would have been filled. You would be closer to probably the 70-80 number in a normal year, based on caseloads and other things.
When you say through this process, what process are you referring to?
Through the pandemic.
Through the pandemic. Okay.
Exactly. So I guess the thing comes down to is that finding that a lot of this work can be done at home by people. Is that something we're looking at forward to doing in the future?
I would think so. I mean, certainly we'd have to develop a more robust formal policy that you folks approve for your administrative code, but I think we found a lot of flexibility in folks being able to remote work. There are some that are doing it, but when normal business resumes and you get more clients and citizens in here, it's just not going to be as possible for all of them, but there are a number of positions that I think that remote work is definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I think any of them that have a citizen or client interface, it makes it tough unless they have certain days they do and certain days they don't. But I think that's happening across the whole country is people are realizing, you know, and I've been reading about some of the major banks are going to leave New York.
Yeah.
And relocate in other low cost states because they don't need people on site. They realize that now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could certainly do that with, you know, to allow flexibility. I think there's a cost inherent in on our part for doing that because you have to provide them equipment, you know, if they haven't already received new equipment to do it.
It might stop more building in the future.
Well, that's, yeah, it'll definitely create some flexibility from your infrastructure standpoint, which is a good point. It's tough to say exactly what that'll shake out to be because obviously we're nowhere near normal operations. So when we are at normal operations, when we get to the ability to bring, you know, that 75% back and start taking more, I think we'll get even more insight into, you know, how many people can successfully continue to telework.
So with everything that has happened at this point, is the work getting done?
Yeah.
Staffing that we don't
have? Yes. I would say that certainly DSS is a world different when you're able to resume. They're handling all the emergencies, they're handling everything that pops up, you know, people can call, but when the ability to walk into the building and seek services, they're the ones that they'll have an uptick, but they're getting certainly all the emergencies done, but there are some gaps. I mean, they still have a backlog, and when people can come into the building, that's a different story. We all know the DMV story. Obviously, that is not getting done to the extent that it needs to be just because the state is choosing not to let us open.
And they just push that out again.
Yeah, I sent that. Yeah, instead of, because that executive order expired the 6th or will expire the 6th, but they've extended, and we have to see because it's under executive order, but the DMV commissioner has emailed all the county clerks saying that it will open in phase 3.
Which is when?
It should be the 12th. We're hearing more likely the 13th if the metrics are good.
I'm sure they're doing that for financial reasons.
Oh, yeah, because they get most of the revenue if things are done online.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but to your point, John, other than that, the work's getting done. I mean, courts are shut down. That's another one. So you're seeing the things that based upon state guidelines and all of our regulations that need to get done, I feel confident saying are getting done, but there's certainly things that have been deferred.
The courts are going to be an issue that's going to be backlogged for a very long time. And the attorneys really haven't been in the building because it's all been by Skype. But when that ends, they'll need to come back in and
Another thing I was thinking about looking at this occupancy tax, with not having the races, Watkins Glen and so on, which is millions of dollars, how, any idea how we're going to be affected on that? You have August blank as far as income for the tax.
Yeah. Corning is a ghost town without CMOG operating.
And
it's amazing.
Yeah, and we don't know what much, but with the restrictions on large in-person gatherings, CMOG will certainly open. It'll be probably reduced capacity. So there will be a downturn. The wineries will open. Again, it'll be reduced capacity. So you'll see some, but it's going to be a big hit.
So I think on this chart that we've given, we'll probably be looking at the severe on 2020 loss.
Yeah.
Because there's at least three races that won't be showing up at Watkins. Plus the
We really don't. That money is allocated.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. If we don't get it, we can't allocate it.
No, it'll be interesting. I mean, who knows? I mean, we've had some talks with Kevin Costello. You know, when the summertime comes, if everything goes well and you start having people that can't take their normal vacations or not comfortable taking their normal vacations, will people take a shorter vacation down here to do the wineries and do some of the outdoor activities? Who knows? But, I mean, it's definitely not going to be what it was. It won't be zero, but it's not going to be what it was.
And like John was just saying, that's going to affect sales tax and all the way down to.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be more concerned about the sales tax than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be.
It's going to make us constrain our budget.
Everybody's budget's going to be.
I mean, there's not the cars on the road, and now gasoline's dropped, so you're not getting the sales tax out of the
mm-hmm.
gas.
Right.
You did get.
Yeah, that's a hit in good times when gas prices drop.
Yeah. And gas is below $2. Mm-hmm. You said if it goes below $2, it's not a pretty scene.
No, 17% of our, on average, of our total sales tax collection is fuel. Truckers are still going. I mean, that's the good news, and that's certainly a big, looking at our big travel centers, that's some of our largest, but yeah, you get less people on the road, less people traveling, it's an issue.
What I was getting at, I don't think looking at just personnel is going to solve our problem at first.
No, unless we get backfilled again by the stimulus for that lost revenue. Next year, all bets are off because who knows how long. Some of the bills are talking about being able to draw down multi-year, so not just for 2020 to help plug the budget hole in 2021, because we know there's going to be some, no matter what happens, there's going to be some ancillary effect. So, yeah, too many unknowns, but if that stimulus doesn't come through, all bets are off.
How long are they going to hold it up? As we know, the state holds up money as long as they can, 1, 2, 3 years.
Yeah, if the federal, it's a problem for Tammy and reconciling, and but if it looks like it's in the federal bill that it is our money, you're pretty confidently budgeting it. Again, it might take a year to get it, but because they have to meet their own cash flow, but who knows?
I think we talked about it the last time, but I think one of the other mechanisms that we may choose to use is bonding the buildings project. I mean, we all agreed to use fund balance to pay for it, but if we're worried about making a budget for next year, filling in the voids in this budget for this year, and what does our fund balance look like, that may be a $10 million number we're willing to finance, especially with the rates that are out there now.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of segue to that, where are we on the
project for phase two, and when will bids go, and when do we think we'll know numbers?
Yeah, we just had a meeting yesterday, final review of phase two, and again, we've scaled down, like we talked about last time, we've scaled down some of the finishes and some of those things, and try to get as flexible as we can. There were some savings. We don't have both Gary Webb, and now that we have draft final design, and once we get them, I can email them to everyone. Once we have that, the estimators will be able to do their work. Bid is scheduled to go second week of July, and everything looks to be on track. This building is going really well. I haven't been down here in a while, but talking to Chris and Eric, they've been staying right on top of it. Everything's looking pretty good. Substantial completion on the public works is a couple weeks. And then up here, we're talking the chambers will be, they're waiting on an ERV unit that was delayed because of everything. So the chambers will be the last thing to finish, but they're talking mid-July. And then, yeah.
What's an ERV?
Air handling unit.
Oh. And the A?
What's that?
Air.
Oh yeah, I don't know. It's something that goes with the air handling. I asked the same thing. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but what does it do?
Okay.
So it's an above ceiling hook into the.
I know when you do large project bids, you always think about timing during the year, because you try to go out for bids when contractors haven't locked in school projects yet, It'll be interesting this year because so many of the school projects have already been going since the school's been shut down.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what we get back.
That's what they thought. They thought that because we had that discussion about is it a good time, because we're trying to get it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But with everything that happened, is it still a good time? And even Gary and LaBella, they both said, yeah, they think we'll get pretty good action on it.
Good.
Getting back to the bonding, the projects, a portion that's already been completed, that be bonded, or just the ones that are incomplete?
I think just the second phase. I don't think we can, that's almost like a, yeah. And the second phase, the second part is by far the biggest. So this was a few million dollars. The second part is going to be the 60 to 70% of the project.
Jack, any indication on graduation services and churches?
I'll tell you something, and it'll change by the time I get back out there. But so we've worked with all the schools. We've had conversations with them just about weekly here recently. They've submitted plans to us, which we have forwarded through the control room to Albany. Darlene has taken, and again, it was nothing. It was just like, we're not approving anything, but hey, here's some thoughts. Have you thought about this? They all look very good, and they were very similar. Most were talking about social distancing with just a couple, two tickets per graduate in their football or soccer stadium. One was talking about indoors, and we recommended, because they had a small gym, that wasn't a good idea. We don't know. They're going to be told what is permissible. The only thing they've been told that is permissible thus far is drive-in graduations. Anything car-based is permissible. We advocate and say, listen, we know mass gatherings are a problem. We know you have to control it, but there's ways that it can be done. So give the schools the flexibility to do something that works for them while not having, while spacing people and doing all the right things. They told us that guidance was supposed to be issued yesterday or today. The way it normally goes, it might be next week, but we keep pushing. Chris Moss has been a big voice on that. I know I pushed too, to say, again, just give them the guidance so that they can set their expectations and they can plan. Because, the last thing we need, and we're hearing some stories that some parents are talking about, I got a big field, we're going to do our own thing. And that's not what you want. So
I noticed Ithaca High School did a graduation ceremony.
Yep, and some are looking at it that way, and I've heard a couple looking at it that way, where they stagger. When people come in, they can walk the stage, they can bring in more than just, you know, two people, they can bring in their extended family for this block, they get the pictures, they, you know, do all that. They're not around their friends and their classmates, it's a disappointing thing, but.
They did that last night at the Corning High School.
Oh, did they?
Because one of my friends posted pictures of her daughter in a cap and gown on the stage, holding the diploma, and then pictures of the family, and yeah, so it's like a full graduation.
That's kind of a.
Yes, it's doing the same thing, but they have graduation outside. So they have a family come in, they have the picture, they do the thing, and then that family leaves and they bring another family.
Yeah.
And it's in the street in front of the high school.
Yep. There, and we.
They were taking them and making videos out of the whole process.
Yep, or and live streaming it so that people at home could, yeah. So there's a bunch of different things, but we expect churches, we keep asking, but we have not heard a word about any larger congregations.
Nothing inside on churches.
No, but again, that could change tomorrow. Who knows? I mean.
You all carried a brick and called it a protest. The state wouldn't say no.
We brought that up.
Demonstration.
We brought that up as well.
What about outside sporting events and stuff?
In terms of like the big folks or like
smaller,
the kids?
Smaller. Well, no, the big folks.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like the large, the Buffalo Bills, those sorts of things. From what we're hearing, won't be fans, but we're hearing that the sports leagues are ramping up. I know like the English Premier League is next weekend.
Baseball started tonight.
Is it? Yeah. So yeah, there's a bunch of things that are happening with that. We've had conversations about youth sports and
shooting events.
I've asked about that. I can't tell you how many times. So they say that in his last executive, well, not his last executive order, in an executive order a couple days ago, he talked about expanded outdoor recreation. And we said, what does that mean? They said guidance is forthcoming. We said, does that include what we've been talking about, equestrian, gun clubs, you know, where, again, everything where you can social distance.
Small numbers.
Yeah. And which just makes sense. How long did it take for them to allow the other raceways? And I kept screaming at them about that. That took about 3 weeks. So.
We haven't heard anything yet.
They said guidance is forthcoming. I would expect, because they know the equestrian, they know the shooting-based sports. The hiking's okay now, but those sort of kind of club events mm-hmm. are a big deal. I mean, we're getting questions about cornhole clubs and horseshoe clubs and things like that. You know, anything where you can go outside.
The social clubs are supposed to be in phase 3, right?
Not sure.
American Legion, VFW.
Not. We asked, and it's not defined.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the American Legion in Corning has that on their board out front.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did they? Yeah.
Maybe they're lobbying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a call. Hey, they think they're opening it. but now, so I was just talking to Jen on the way over. Again, what they did with changing the state liquor authority, and again, opening. Hey, great. You know, get these places open. Personal. You know, you guys, bosses and gals. But you know, the things that can be done safely, open up. But without talking to anyone, now it's confusing because originally it was restaurants for dine out only. State Liquor Authority guidance came out in the middle of the night and doesn't say restaurants, it says a licensed operator.
Exactly.
So to me, the Legions and the Elks can't have a cover, so you can't do it in your pavilion. I know. A fixed cover. It can be a temporary cover. And that's one. It's crazy, but that's one I wouldn't mess with because the liquor authority is one that.
Oh yeah.
Will,
any authority, they're gonna get your license.
Yeah, but.
Well, I could handle a couple of legions that I did their sales tax returns on with zero.
Yeah. So, but what's stopping that? So when I get out there, that's going to be my first call is, what does that mean for bars? What does that mean for the social clubs? Does that mean that in their parking lot, they can set up, you have to have a it has to be tables, and you set up tables. I don't see where, personally, reading that SLA guidance, it's not very long. It's one page. Looks to me like they can.
I think of it.
But we'll find out, and of course, and again, this not to get on and harp on this topic, but that's the frustration is, and I kind of, Chris Moss and I kind of got a little antsy with them yesterday. Not disrespectful, but pushing them to say, you know, you could have said a couple of days ago, hey, confidentially, this is the guidance that we're working on. Do you have any questions on it? Instead, they say, hey, the guidance was released. We have our call 2 hours later after the guidance was released, and they get 10 questions, and they go, oh, yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have to get back to you. And now they have to redo their guidance because they haven't talked to all of the control rooms about it. So, anyhow, I won't vent. I've done it.
Brendan, are any of the legislators able to add or talk, or do any of them have questions? Is anybody on the call? Any legislators have any questions?
No, it's Steve. I'm just listening. I'm okay.
Okay. All right.
Nothing else.
I'm listening, and I didn't get to print that email that Jack sent out, so I might have questions later about that, but I'll just email those.
Yep, and that's all those things are sort of a starting point as well, Kelly. So definitely much more discussion.
Excellent. We appreciate it.
So we want to go to executive session
unless
now.
Something else. Yeah.
Do you want to go ahead and schedule the next?
I don't believe so. No. Yes, we could schedule the next one.
But that's the only item left on the agenda after your
session. Yeah.
Unless you want to. Does the committee actually have to schedule it? I mean, he could call it, right?
Yeah.
Because the only thing that I'm worried about is, number one, you got that holiday the first week, and also we should know more about the Fed stimulus, which kind of drives.
Oh, okay.
You know, timing.
Whether we want it, need to have one or not. Okay. All right, well then, yeah, with the holiday that first week, right?
If you want to just wait and maybe we'll be meeting in person.
Because it could either be Thursday the 2nd or.
Optimistic, aren't you?
Why don't you just wait, Scott?
We can wait.
Call it.
Call it when you need it.
Yeah. Okay.
The finance committee would to meet next week in person?
No, nobody for the rest of the month. We were the only ones. We thought it was supposed to be after June 6th, so we thought finance and admin could meet.
And again, frankly, that could be. He could change that by, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, if we did it in this room, you could have your standing committee meet here, but you would only be able to have just the legislators on the committee. And the department has to come in individually.
Yeah. But we also have to check. I can't remember when allowed using this because they're going to take up this whole space.
Yeah. The next.
And the sound in the other room is not great.
They need to hug all the machines again.
And they have to stop doing what they were doing upstairs while the meeting because that's going to come through.
Oh, okay.
Time is.
Okay.
What is elections doing? Is it training?
Early voting.
Primary early voting.
They have to be open for what, 9 days?
That'll be over with in the third week of June, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so we're going to. Give them time to drop off the call and then call in the other one.
Yeah, for the discussion for the public that's on, we will not be coming back, so we're going to close the public meeting.
Right.
need a motion to adjourn?
No. Not the last executive.
We weren't coming back into the regular session.
Yeah, but that's fine, but you just come out of executive adjourn.